It is impossible to talk about prayer without also talking about faith and doubt. The two are bound up with prayer in Scripture. Faith and doubt also represent the polar dimensions of our experience when it comes to prayer. One side is reflected in Jesus' promise when the disciples marveled that he had caused a fig tree to wither with only a few words. Jesus told them to have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, "Go throw yourself into the sea," and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them, Jesus said. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. The other side is reflected in the warning of James 1, 6, and 7 about the undermining effect of doubt. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you, he assures. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. I feel caught between these two scriptures. On the one hand, as encouraging as the promise of Jesus is to me, it creates an expectation for the results of prayer that doesn't seem to match my experience. This doesn't shake my trust in God so much as it erodes the confidence I have in my own faith. Jesus' promise seems to place pressure on the outcome of my praying. I review the answers to my prayers, trying to determine whether they rise to the standard of Christ's "whatever you ask for." Does the fact that they do not mean that my faith was deficient? It's a little like investors who read the quarterly statement and second-guess their choices. Would the answers have been better if I had prayed differently? If Jesus' promise causes me to question my prayers after the fact, the warning of James 1, 6, and 7 makes me worry about them at the outset. James seems absolute. If you doubt, don't expect to receive anything from God. But if by doubt he means someone who sometimes wonders whether God is going to grant their request, then I'm afraid I'm often guilty. Jesus' promise may lead me to have unrealistic expectations of God. And James makes it sound like God has unreasonable expectations of me. Either way, it is hard for me to come to prayer without a certain amount of doubt. Our problem on both sides of this equation is that we have put the wrong figure at the center. In either instance, we have come to believe that our prayer's answer depends more on us than on God. This is certainly not where Jesus begins. His primary assertion is not "trust in your faith," but "have faith in God." Prayer's vast potential springs from a faith that is placed in God. The whatever potential of prayer is not because the one who prays has the ability to accomplish whatever he or she might want, but because God can do whatever he pleases. Faith is the foundation of all that we do in the Christian life. We, however, tend to emphasize the importance of faith at the beginning of our Christian experience and then leave it there. The result is that we tend to preach faith to the unbeliever and effort to the believer. This affects the way we look at faith in connection with prayer. We think of faith as a spiritual energy that we must stir up within ourselves to get the answers we want. The greater the request, the more energy we need. Or we come to view the faith associated with prayer as an ineffable quality of emotion. To get the right answer, we need to muster up a certain kind of feeling that the Bible defines as faith. Faith is not an emotional state, but a conviction about what God is both able and willing to do if we ask Him. Yet it is only fair to note that it is Jesus Himself who seems to suggest that uncertainty is a deal-breaker when it comes to prayer. He qualifies His promise with an exception. "Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them." The clause, "and does not doubt," sounds as if absolute certainty is a prerequisite for answers to prayer. Confidence that God will hear my request and respond as He deems best is one thing. Certainty that I will get what I ask is something else. If this is what the Bible means by faith, then I may as well not bother. The perception that we need to be sure in advance that we will get precisely what we ask for has caused many people anxiety. There is a difference between confidence that God will answer my prayer and certainty about the way it will be answered. Jesus urges us to pray with confidence. This does not mean that we can always know how God will answer our prayers or that we will always get what we desire. We need go no further than Jesus' own prayer to prove that faith in prayer is not synonymous with the certainty of its outcome. In Gethsemane, Jesus framed His request in language that affirmed His faith without expressing certainty about the result. "Abba, Father," He said, "everything is possible for You. Take this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but what You will." I admire the heroes of faith in church history and Scripture, but it is the prayer of the Father described in Mark 9 that resonates most with my own. Ever since childhood, His son had been possessed by a spirit that robbed him of speech and sent him into convulsions. When Jesus asked the man how long his son had been like this, He told him it had been since childhood. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him, but if You can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If You can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Jesus rebuked the father for his lack of faith. But what was the nature of the faith that Jesus expected? The man's weakness was his view of Jesus. "If You can," the man had said. He questioned Jesus' ability to do what was asked. In turn, Jesus demanded faith at the focal point of his doubt. He called upon the man to believe not so much in the possibility of healing, but in Him. The father responded with honesty. The fact that he had come to Jesus with his son in the first place indicates that he possessed a measure of faith. But like the doubter of James 1:8, he was of two minds in the matter. Jesus' tone may seem unnecessarily harsh, but the father's response shows that it had the intended effect. Instead of turning inward to try and find more faith, the father looks to Jesus for help. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Faith is a gift as well as a command. Because it is a gift, not everyone has faith in the same proportion. We read the biographies of those who exercised great faith and wish we could be like them, but "you of little faith" was Jesus' favorite designation for his followers and seems to imply that the opposite is more likely the case. When Jesus' disciples recognized their limits in this area, they asked Jesus to increase their faith. But instead of offering a regimen of faith-building exercises, he told them, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Great faith is admirable, but according to Jesus, even a little faith is enough to see remarkable results. Instead of telling his disciples to increase their faith before going to God in prayer, he urges them to begin with the small measure of faith they already have. Jesus is not lowering the bar on faith. He only says that more is possible than we can now imagine. Jesus is more confident of the potential of our prayers than we are. He knows that their outcome is correlated more with the greatness of God than with the magnitude of our faith. Prayer is an act of faith, and its expectation is shaped by hope. Hope, in the common vernacular, is more like a wish. We say things like, "I hope it doesn't rain," or "I hope I don't get sick." The hope that springs from faith shares the same spirit of desire, but with a much stronger expectation. This hope is closer to certainty. Faith is a kind of motion that leans in God's direction. Hope is the experience that the leaning of faith produces. Between the two, it is faith that is primary, because it is the confidence that energizes hope. How then do we pray in faith? First, we should not let our questions, fears, or even our doubts keep us from approaching God in prayer. Like the father who brought his son to Jesus, we should be honest about our struggles. If we do not know how to express our doubts, the father's prayer is enough. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Second, we should remind ourselves that a little faith is all that is required to pray. We do not have to wait until we become giants in faith. We do not even need great faith to make large requests. Jesus promised that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. Third, do not let the size of your request intimidate you. As the old hymn by John Newton says, "Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." The answer to your prayer depends upon God, and He is always greater than your request. Fourth, trust God's timing and plan as you wait for an answer. Even when our requests are the same as those of others, God does not always answer in the same way. His answers are personal, specifically suited to our need and His plan. Jesus urged His disciples to always pray and not give up. We should persist in prayer until God's answer is clear to us. The key to faith and prayer is to begin with the faith that you have, even if it is only the size of a mustard seed. Anchor your hope to Christ's promise, and even the smallest grain of faith is enough to change the shape of the world around you.